Good morning, colleagues, and thank you for your indulgence in postponing the start of the, or adjourning the start of the meeting there. I thought it was important that we did have continuity in the hearing that we've just had. Could I have any apologies?
There are none. Oh, sorry, Margaret Harkness has had to leave.
And Bob Constable, I think. Order of business, we've got an item that we've added in joint inspection on children and young people in Midlothian. The reason this is added as a late paper is that it was only published yesterday, but we're very keen that we take this into account at earliest opportunity, and given that there are another two inspection reports on the agenda, it made sense to have this one also. That takes us to declarations of interest. Are we any? Thank you. Item 4 is the Cabinet membership and portfolios. As was asked to be noted at the Council meeting in December, the new Cabinet membership was agreed at that point, and the headline portfolio titles are included in the report at Item 4. At this stage, I don't think we need to necessarily say any more on that. Councillor Johnson? So on that basis, can we agree item 4 on the membership and make up a cabinet? Thank you. That then takes us to item 5, which is the minutes of the cabinet meetings. First up, the special cabinet on the 19th of November. Councillor Johnson.
On page 6, item L, can be noted that it should read to note that 6 primary school children were in residential care and 2 young people in secure accommodation over the previous year. Thank you.
Not a problem, we can make that change. With that, we're happy to agree that minute. And the Cabinet on the 19th of November, agreed. And the special cabinet, 17th of December. Thank you. That then takes us to item 6, the inspection of Hewkin Primary School nursery class. Sorry, can you?
Hewkin was inspected in November this year, and as you can see from the gradings, they were graded as very good, and we had agreed that we would bring inspection reports like this to Cabinet and to Council, just so that people can see the quality of our early years education. The inspection team noted that the nursery class works well to support individual children, staff received training to give them additional skills and knowledge, and staff were very good at evaluating what works well. The inspection team noted that the service needs to review information held on children every 6 months with parents. That was the main finding from their report. So the Cabinet is asked to note the content of the inspection report, pass this to the performance review and scrutiny, congratulate the management, and note that whilst acknowledging the very good work being carried out at Hewkin, the Council will continue to challenge.
Thank you. Councillor Rosie.
Yeah, thanks. Well, as a local member in Pennycook, I know that it's a well-respected nursery in the community, and this report certainly backs that up, I think, in the work that they do there. So, yeah, very encouraged, and like Mary, I'd like to congratulate the management and staff connected with it for this very good work. Thank you.
Certainly always very encouraging when we can see reports coming through like this. We all know the importance of the interventions at the earliest possible stages, so having a solid foundation like this for the pupils in the nursery classes has got to be one of the best starts that they can get from their education. So I think with that, we accept the recommendations and report, and strongest congratulations to all involved. Thank you. That takes us on then to item 7, which is the inspection of Mount Esk Nursery.
So again, a very positive report from the Education Scotland and the Care Inspectorate, where services at Mount Esk Nursery were graded as being very good throughout. And this is really fantastic. What they found, the key strengths were children who are motivated and enthusiastic learners. There was strong partnership with parents and other agencies. The approaches to staff to meet children's individual learning needs, effective teamwork and leadership for learning provided by the head teacher and her work in ensuring the nursery is a key part of the local community. The following areas for improvement were agreed through reflecting on children's learning, continue to build on how staff use self-evaluation to determine the actions they take, and continue to take forward the priorities as described in the Nursery Improvement Plan. So acknowledgement that the Nursery Improvement Plan contained the required improvements. And again, the Cabinet is asked to note the content of the inspection report, pass this to the Performance Review and Scrutiny Committee, and congratulate the pupils, parents and staff connected with the Mount Esk Nursery School report.
Thanks, Leader. Again, another excellent report, and I would echo what Derek has already said. We've had a string of these reports, but these two really are exceptionally good. I think what's jumped out at me was in 2.3 that the children are motivated and enthusiastic learners, and that's linked to the third bullet point, the question of individual learning. We are looking at how we can improve our positive destinations, how we can improve our results at the end process. The groundwork, as Derek has already said, the groundwork is clearly laid here, and this is the second of two nurseries, and we have had other reports that have reflected the sheer excellence of what's going on in our nursery schools. So congratulations again to the head teacher and the staff and the people, the staff involved here in the centre. Thank you.
I think I can only wholeheartedly endorse those comments. With that, are we happy to endorse the report? I think it is sometimes a shame, so when you get such a positive report that we're so glowing in our praise, yet when reports are negative, we spend more time talking and questioning and inquiring about them. It's maybe something that we can look at, but I think we can't underestimate the benefits that such a positive report can bring. So with that, we accept the recommendations. Thank you. That takes us on to item number 8, which is inspection of the Midlothian Council Adoption Service.
Okay, what I would ask you to do, with your indulgence, is to kind of look at the next two reports in conjunction with each other. And the reason I'm saying that is this is one service that was inspected by two different inspectors at the same time. And I've raised it a number of times at Council over the last year. So the inspection report looked at the adoption service and the fostering service separately. So in terms of the adoption service, they graded the quality of care and support as weak, the quality of staffing is good, and the quality of management and leadership as adequate. Now, the inspection report noted that the prospective adopters, they felt the staff were knowledgeable at adoption and generally felt well supported by the service. The inspection team thought the adoption provided a good oversight of the work of the services and were able to highlight areas. The inspection team that the authority reported that the authority could do better, we should seek to improve the quality of assessment of a child's need for adoption. And that's not to do with the adoption service per se, that's to do with our social workers in the main. So it's not about the adoption service, that's about improving it across all of social work. And the service could improve support arrangements for panel members by arranging role-specific supervision. And again, we've discussed this before about how we need to get more panel members from the local community. And we've looked at different ways of doing that. Since the inspection report, Midlothian Council has already taken a number of actions. We had the review of the management team. We've got a process which will enable panel member supervision and appraisal. We've got a detailed action plan that we've worked on. A dedicated group are working with training staff to ensure they're up to standard. A training programme for managers and strengthening the quality assurance purpose. So these are all in place as we speak. So we're asked to note the content of this inspection, pass the report to the Performance Review and Scrutiny Committee and acknowledge the positive and ongoing work. So if we take that then, what I've just said, to the next report, so again, it's the same team that's being inspected, and the quality of care and support is very good, the quality of staffing, very good, and the quality of management and leadership, very good. So we're dealing with how inspectors come in and it's very subjective. It's not if you reach this percentage, you get that grading, or, you know, they're looking at various things. The inspection team noted the following strengths. The agency continues to be committed and motivated to providing quality fostering service. The health and well-being and needs of children and young people were evaluated and monitored. Foster carers were well supported by the fostering service, and foster carers were strong advocates for the children they looked after. The inspection team reported that the authority could do better in the following areas. The foster service should continue to develop and improve the fostering panel, which again links to what we were talking about for the adoption. The service should continue to improve panel membership, again links to the earlier report. The service should make sure that placing social workers provide a report to the fostering panel when foster carers are being reviewed. And the service should make sure that all written records are full and consistent. So again, this is, you know, the ongoing improvement that we've done. So I would ask you to note the content of the inspection reports, pass this, both reports, to the Performance Review and Scrutiny Committee, and acknowledge the ongoing and positive work in Midlothian, and note that we will continue to challenge and support and monitor the service to achieve excellence through further improvement.
I'll bring in Mr. Hayes first.
Thank you, Convener, and thank you, Mary. Can I just pick up on the points you were making and correct and confirm my understanding? It's the same inspection team inspecting the same Midlothian team. What are the differences? Why the differences?
It's difficult to say. It's the care inspectorate send in two inspectors. One looks at fostering and one looks at adoption.
So it's not. It's one inspector looking at one thing, one at another.
Yes.
Ow.
So the children come into the system and they're kind of twin-tracked at the beginning. So an incident has happened. Do we think that that child can go home, in which case we're working towards the child going back to their parents, or do we think it's going to be foster care or adoption? So we sort of twin-track our youngsters.
Can I just ask a supplementary then? I suppose a very leading supplementary. Did the team feel that the outcomes were justified? And I suppose, coming professionally from this background, and this is a general question about all of these, including inspections, when these reports, these are summary reports, is there actual evidence that these are based on? You know, I saw this and I found this and this has happened for this person. So firstly, did the teams feel that the differences were justified? And what was the evidence that was presented which would substantiate the differences?
There will always be evidence. You have what's called a record of inspection findings. So they will say, I looked at 6 cases, or I looked at 12 cases, or in the case of the next report, I'm going to talk about 97 case files, and this is what I found. So they will always look at that. So you will get a record of inspection findings, which goes into much more detail. I think if you ask about the team, which includes, you know, the central team, I think we were disappointed that the inspectors felt that we were weak in some areas, especially when we were positive about the fostering. So these children that go on to adoption are actually in foster care placements first. So the fostering placement was so positive, and yet the adoption one wasn't as good. But in saying that, we have a new legal advisor, we have a new team there. So there are always areas where we can learn and improve, and that's what we're doing at the moment. And as I say, the team were disappointed. I don't know if you had two questions.
That pretty well answers it, but I was just concerned about the validity of inspections when they're such quite radically different outcomes, and which I thought you were questioning, and you're putting a nice positive approach to it, and proactive, yes, we can learn, but underneath it all, does this raise questions about the validity of care inspections?
Maybe I should answer that one. No, I think I've personally got some questions around some of the inspection process, and in fact maybe I'll talk a bit more on it when we come to the next item, but have raised some concerns that I personally have about the process, not about findings. I think inspectors will come in, I'm not the professional, so I'm not going to challenge findings, but I do have some queries around some of the processes that are used. And this, I think, just absolutely highlights that when you've got one team working within the council and you've got two such radically different outcomes that are found, when, as Mary says, you're often working with the same people, the same children. Yeah, I think that process does need to be looked at. Kath, do you want to...
I kind of acknowledge that the service was recently taken in-house from being an outsourced service, and the team were aware of the areas that needed strengthening and were working towards that prior to the inspection, which hasn't really highlighted any issues that we didn't know about. So it's good that there was commonality found in the two teams. And I note that the team will continue to work with the community planning partners and deliver the framework of permanence, and to do so in a child-centric manner, and hope the service becomes as embedded in its practices and develops in a way that we see a journey together of improvement, and indeed the outcomes for the children will be at the forefront of all the work we're doing. And then when I was reading, do you want me to speak about the fostering as well? I thought that was really good, and it was acknowledged that we were improving the outcomes for the children who needed to be fostered, and that the team will continue to work hard for this excellence and improve it. Just now we have a recruitment campaign for more foster carers to come forward and come on board with the team, and to keep, as you always say, Midlothian children to be Midlothian children. And there's opportunities for potential foster carers to come forward for training. And I encourage everyone who's interested to contact the family placement team for further information. However, like Vic, I found it perplexing that the adoption team and the foster team are one and the same staff team carrying out similar business, but inspected differently, and share Owen's views about processes, and just wonder why they were evaluated differently, and I'll work closely to see if anything can be changed to make sure that we always get good reports. Thank you.
Sad one thing, our adoptions are so small, you know, in Midlothian, that if you have four adoptions a year, say, and the inspectors come in and read three of these files, and they maybe find little bits here and there. You know, they're looking at the little bits here and there that make the whole. If you were in, say, City of Edinburgh, and, you know, they were coming in and looking at a third of City of Edinburgh's files, you know, if they're adopting 30 children. So it's to do with proportionality. You know, if they're looking at three case files in the last year, and maybe there's been a delay for a child because a report hasn't been completed, or there's tensions between the parents and they're not agreeing, do you know, that puts a delay on a child. So there's all sorts of complexities about what prevents a child moving quickly to adoption. But we are improving, and, you know, we've got many more adoptions gone through quicker in the last 2 years than previously. So hopefully they'll continue to see that improvement.
Okay. We've got the recommendations for item 8, which is the adoption service on page 46. Can I ask you to agree them? And same recommendations for item 9. Both reports to go to be noted and pass the performance review scrutiny for consideration, acknowledging the positive work by management staff connected with the services, and the council continue to challenge, support and monitor services in relation to achieving excellence. So I'm happy to agree that in relation to both these reports. Thank you. If I could then turn members to attention to the joint inspections of services for children and young people, which is the additional paper. Is Craig going to call? Yes. Thank you. And again, Mary, if I could ask you to introduce this.
Okay. I do have other things in my life apart from inspections, but I just thought I'd share that with you. The Joint Inspection for Joint Inspection of Services for Children and Young People was a new inspection regime that came into being last year. Midlothian was either fifth or sixth. There were four pilots across Scotland, and then we were in the next tranche. The inspection team looked at our services in relation to community planning partnership. So this wasn't just about children's services. It was about how we work with our partners. The report, we received the final report yesterday. And what the inspection team found, it was a very positive report. They found meaningful involvement of children and young people to shape policies and services, creative approaches to encourage physical, social, emotional well-being, highly effective, helpful support to improving parenting. They noted that leaders have made significant improvements to services for children, young people and families who are vulnerable and those at risk, and children who are in need of protection from abuse are kept safe and experience positive outcomes as a result of the help they receive. So, all in all, it was a hugely positive report. They evaluated us against the new quality indicators, and you can see at 2.6 our evaluations, providing help and support at an early stage, good, impact on children and young people, good, impact on families, good. Assessing and responding to needs and risks, adequate. And adequate is the strengths outweigh any weaknesses. Planning and assessing for individual children, adequate. Planning and improving services, adequate. Participation of children and young people and families and other stakeholders, very good. And the leadership and direction of services, they assessed us as leadership of improvement and change, adequate, and improving the well-being of children and young people. So if you actually read the report and then read the gradings, there appears to be a slight mismatch, which we have discussed extensively with the Care Inspectorate. What their view was, Midlothian is at the start of a process, as they are, and it's the start of our single plan with our three priorities. It's the start of our integrated community plan with our priorities. So they felt it was a bit early in the day to be commenting how well we would do further ahead. The report only found four things that we need to be looking at, and that is provide readily available to support for all children. And that's part of what I've discussed here extensively, the move from stage three supports to prevention and early intervention. Continue to improve the quality of assessment and planning for all children and young people, and that relates to our previous reports. Implement a comprehensive and effective joint commissioning strategy for services for children and young people. What they mean by that is not Midlothian Council providing this. What they're talking about is working with health. They're talking about working with our partner agencies. And maintain strong leadership and clear direction. So they want us to, you know, continue with the vision and moving ahead. So an action plan will be in place to look at that. So the Cabinet is recommended to note the report of the Joint Inspection and note the areas for improvement in Section 2.7. I presume you'll want the same one as well about forwarding. That's fine. Okay, thank you.
Although this inspection was just concerned in the services for children and young people in the county, it does demonstrate the strengths and the service that we're providing. For example, to note all the improvements on page 11. But I was just thinking, all things being equal and reading over the three reports, it demonstrates the team, the partnerships, awareness, drive, enthusiasm and commitment by the whole partnership to improve the lives of all the children and young people in Midlothian. So I think overall it's good. Thank you.
It's certainly a positive journey that we're on, and as Councillor Johnson says, each of these inspection reports has highlighted that the pathway that we're on here is all pointing the right direction. I think I mentioned some of my frustrations around process. This is a community planning partnership inspection, but when we look at the case files that were read, that was all the council. It wasn't that they went to the police to look at case files, they didn't go to the health service to look at case files. So while it was branded as a partnership inspection, it felt very, very much like it was a council inspection. So I think that there is a journey to be gone on by the inspectorate as to how they deal with the new environment of partnership working, where it's not simply the council that's leading on any particular aspect, but that there are other agencies involved. And I mean, the very positive work that's taken place across the partnership is excellent. And if we could get the inspectors to recognise the need to look beyond just the council, that would be a massive step in the right direction. There has been some work to, I suppose, declutter the inspection landscape, that there are now, allegedly joint teams within the inspection setup. So we can only see what that brings, but hopefully that side of local government will drive change and recognise the environment we're in of, and the importance in partnership working, it's not simply a case of looking at anyone standalone anymore. The involvement of other agencies in supporting the work we do is critical, and when assessments are carried out such as this, we need to be speaking to each of the partners. So I agree, this is it's a positive report, and that it shows the good work that's taking place. The overarching sort of grades, I suppose, don't necessarily to me reflect the content of the report, but even that shows that there's a lot of good work taking place here. So I'm encouraged by this. I would ask that we do add a third recommendation, that as we do refer this report to the Performance Review and Scrutiny Committee as well, just so we cover all the bases, because I'm sure that there'll be a number of questions to be raised in that forum too. Any other comments?
Just an observation to Mary. I think we've questioned some elements of validity here across these three reports. What puzzles me from a practical point of view is, why couldn't there be one report instead of what we have here? Is something that, I'm going to be quite honest, I think the validity, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in here, don't get me wrong, but I think the validity of three reports that don't actually seem to agree with each other is highly questionable. I think there should be some feedback to the people who conducted this. I'm also thinking of the council staff time that was quite frankly taken doing this. I mean, we're talking about a time of cuts, of staff having a lot of priorities. This doesn't seem to me to be a good way use of anybody's time, quite frankly, to have three lots of inspections going on. That is just an observation. I wouldn't expect Mary to comment.
I will. I agree. I absolutely agree. I think that, as I say, the inspectorate need to move forward in their journey. Yes, it's important, and it's a vital role that the inspection regime plays, but I think there's far more could be done to coordinate and have a far more sensible approach to how they do it. And that is certainly the intention, ultimately, that the inspection regime get to, but I think the evidence is that there's still some distance from that. With that, can we agree the recommendations in the report and the addition of the referral to Performance Review and Scrutiny? Thank you. That takes us on to item 10, which is the 6-monthly performance report on the Single Midlothian Plan.
Thank you, Chair. This 6-month performance report on the Single Midlothian Plan, I think, can be seen as complementary to the detailed reports on council performance, which the Special Cabinet considered recently. But I think it's important also for Cabinet to be able to reflect on the wider achievements of the community planning partnership. So what this does is this sets out progress, successes, but also key challenges in relation to each of the 5 community planning themes. And then alongside that, because we're taking an exception reporting approach here, it has details of the 32 actions that are off target at this 6-month period in the year, together with some commentary on the reasons why that is the case, indeed in quite a number of cases, the actions which are intended to get things back on target. So there's a lot of information here. I think the context is important, and there's a number of officers in the chamber today, not least Alistair Mathers, who may be able to help members with any questions or interpretation in relation to detail.
Members have any questions or comments? Clearly there's a massive amount of work being undertaken at the Community Planning Partnership, and I think the report here certainly backs up the focus on three key priorities, the early years, positive destinations and economic recovery, that approach that the partnership have taken. I mean, the report itself doesn't ask us to refer this to performance review scrutiny, but again, I would ask that I think that would be a sensible approach for us to add as a recommendation to enable that more detailed scrutiny. But I think if there are no questions, perhaps if we note this at this time. Thank you. Which takes us on to item 11, which is an update report on Midfest 2013.
Okay, thank you. This is a report on the activity, the Midfest activity that took place during September 2013, where we had a number of workshops and events across Midlothian. The report concluded that it was a very successful activity that was taken forward. There is an extensive report attached to this report. We had resource implications was both in-kind and cash contributions, and that's on page 80. But what I would ask you to add to that is Midlothian Council non-cash contributions amounted to about £57,000. And £9,224 was funded by a number of councillor ward environmental funds. What we're asking the cabinet is to note the evaluation of Midfest, and including the financial summary, and support Midfest 2014, because we feel it's something that we can move forward with and brought people to Midlothian, and provide an update to the cabinet on progress by May 2014.
Thank you. Certainly, I think it was a massively positive series of events, and already I'm aware that there's a number of interested parties looking and asking, inquiring, how can they get involved in another event this year. Certainly, I think that of the in-kind donations, it's important that we recognise that these are things that people would have largely been doing anyway in a lot of situations. So it's while that sounds a significant contribution, it is actually work that was already being undertaken in various aspects of the council. I think with that, I would certainly endorse the recommendations in this report that we do look to continue this as a real opportunity here. So many of the events were simply brought within communities and enabled people to sort of take part in the wider activities that was Midfest. So certainly I think that's a really encouraging thing to do, lets people be involved in their communities in ways that they might not otherwise have been.
Thanks, Owen. I mean, I think this is a fantastic project, and I remember when I first heard about it, I thought it was a really brilliant idea, and it's, to be blunt, it's very good value for the money that was spent. I'm delighted to see on page 94 the comments about schools. I remember when we spoke about this, I hoped that there could be a fair degree of school involvement. It was the first year, it was quite late on. I think probably we've learnt a lot, and I really value the comments paid on page 94, and I hope next year that the schools will have more notice and will get much more involved in the practicalities, because I think this is a great experience for all youngsters, and particularly obviously my focus is on the arts and the music side, which it gives them a great opportunity to perform, and this is an area that Midlothian is excellent at, so it's a great project, and I hope it goes on and on. Thank you.
Thank you. Recommendations are on page 82. To note the evaluation, support Midfest 2014, subject to funding being secured, and to provide an update to the Cabinet in May. Agree to the recommendations? Thank you. That then takes us on to item 12, which is a funding bid for arts in Midlothian.
Chair, this is a report which has brought forward to bring us up to date with decisions that were made during last summer to submit a bid to Creative Scotland for capital funding in conjunction with the National Mining Museum for Scotland and the Arts Community in Midlothian to establish a performance venue, a commercial performance venue at the Newton Grange Mining Museum. This has been a subject of a seminar with the SNP group already, and this is formally now seeking retrospective approval for actions taken in submitting the bid. So essentially it's asking Cabinet to agree what has already happened.
I think the report is pretty clear in front of us. Obviously any activity that takes place is subject to funding being secured. Funding bid was submitted because there was a very short window for the submission of the funds that were available. I suppose subsequent to that, I've relatively recently attended a meeting with the Chief Executive with representatives of the Mining Museum, which I felt was very positive, to this opportunity to engage with them and to discuss how we can work together with the opportunities that are presented through this bid and the opportunities that come with the what will soon be the opening of the Borders Rail. I don't know, Kenneth, would you maybe add some on the discussions we had?
Yeah, thank you, Leader. I think that what's important about these discussions is the recognition of the commonality of interest between the Council and the Mining Museum, that the Mining Museum is an exceptional asset, and that by working together, really, we have the prospect both to create opportunities for the arts, economic development, and wider benefits for Midlothian. I think that really the critical thing from that discussion for me was the fact that there seemed to be a shared recognition of that need to work closely together moving forward. Now, I think it's also important to emphasise these are early stage bids. There's a long way to go. There'll be further significant decisions which will need to come before Cabinet if these matters go ahead. But I think what we have is essentially what looks like a positive project and a good relationship with the Mining Museum that gives us a good prospect of delivering it should the funding come forward.
Any members' questions or comments? The recommendations for us to confirm the support for the steps taken so far and to authorise appropriate staff to continue to seek funding and develop business case for a Midlothian Arts facility with the Mining Museum Trust, Arts Community and external funders. We're happy to accept that recommendation. Thank you. That then leads us on to item 13, which is the Strategic Development Plan for Edinburgh South East Scotland update. Ian.
Thank you, Chair. The report presents the minutes of the most recent meeting of the Strategic Development Plan Joint Committee, which is held on the 18th of November last year, and it also seeks ratification of the proposed strategic planning budget for 2014-15, particularly the contributions from the Council. And this is an annual report which comes up in relation to CESPLAN. Just as a quick reminder, the six councils in South East Scotland are the statutory Strategic Development Planning Authority, and the governance is provided by that joint committee of 12 members, that's two members from each constituent council. Current position on approval of the SDP, Strategic Development Plan number one, the supplementary planning guidance on housing numbers, which is making progress at the moment, and also the initiation of SDP number two is set out all in part two of the report. Just to draw your attention to paragraph 2.5 of the report, the Joint Committee approved budget for 2014-15 is identified there, plus the 5% reduction target on that budget annually thereafter. The Joint Committee also agreed to keep member council contributions to the £49,000 per council per annum, which has been the case for a couple of years. So in terms of the budget position, it's as budgeted. Recommendations are to note those minutes which are attached, in fact, appended to the report, and to ratify the budget for the strategic development planning function.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Ian. I would just draw your attention to paragraph 2.2 regarding the housing land, which was subject to a consultation which ended on the 23rd of December. Cabinet will recall that we've agreed 100 houses for Edinburgh, and there's been 155 responses to this consultation which are being assessed at the moment. And as Ian has said, I ask the Cabinet to ratify the 2014-15 budget, which is the same as the 12-13 budget, with a 5% reduction. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's important to note, I think it's a valid point, the sort of the fact that, again, there's another part of this process that's open to public consultation. There's extensive consultation throughout all of the planning, development plan processes, and I'm keen to make that point because I think there has been some discussion recently among some in the letter writers to the press about developments in Midlothian and such like, and I think it is just, it's critical that I do make the point that all aspects of this are widely consulted upon, and anyone who does want to make a case, there is many, many opportunities for that to be done. With that, can we agree the recommendations in the report? Thank you. That then takes us on to item 14, which is the Scottish Government Regeneration Grant Capital Fund bid for Phase 2 Dalkeith High Street improvements.
Thank you, Chair. This report just informs Cabinet of the outcome of that particular bid for funding from Scottish Government Regeneration Fund for improvements to Dalkeith High Street, which is the eastern end of the High Street. Details of the submitted bid are set out in Part 2 of the report. Sad to report that the bid was unsuccessful. Only about 50% of the submitted schemes across Scotland were successful in a heavily oversubscribed bidding round. And we understand that there's a seeming change of emphasis in moving from stage one to stage two of the process from the public realm works, which were the essence of this particular bid. For Dalkeith, to the emphasis on the redevelopment of derelict buildings. So to some extent, we perhaps were wrong-footed at stage two, but that was not something that we could have foreseen. It is important to note that the bid included commitments, that's financial commitments, from Buccleuch Estates and from Dalkeith Business Renewal, and also a fair degree of support from Melville Housing Association, who were pleased to note have now secured the corn exchange for what will be a pretty exciting project on that part. And also the bid also included a council contribution of £20,000, which was obviously dependent on the success of the bid. Just to give a bit more update, Convener, we have finally tracked down the main person at Scottish Government who's had involvement in this. They have accepted that there was some change of focus between stage one and stage two, as I outlined. However, on the brighter side, they consider this scheme could be a candidate for resubmission as early as March this year, with the results in June of this year. And in fact, Scottish Government representative has undertaken to come and meet officers on site and to actually see the nature of the scheme that's being prepared. So I think those are quite positive. So on that basis, Cabinet are asked to note that the stage two bid was unsuccessful, but also to note the prospects for a resubmission of that bid. And on that basis, there would be an indication or a suggestion, I think, that if the council were able to keep its £20,000 contribution as part of a resubmitted bid, then certainly that would be beneficial, both in terms of the bid itself and the relationship with others who are going to be maintaining their financial commitment too.
I want to thank Ian for the tenacity in which they've wouldn't let go on this bid. and I understand that there's a good chance that we will be successful in March, and I recommend the recommendations at 4.1.
Just from the point of view of ensuring we have the appropriate governance in place, I think we will need a report in advance of that resubmitted bid to confirm the Council's support for 20,000, either through the Council agenda in February or the next Cabinet meeting. So if we could arrange for that to happen as well, that would be particularly useful. Okay. With that, we agree the recommendation. Thank you. Item 15 is the A Sense of Belonging, Lothian's Joint Mental Health and Wellbeing Strategy. Alison.
Thank you. This is an update paper Midlothian send up to a Lothian-wide strategy, Sense of Belonging, in 2011, which was a five-year strategy to look at ways of improving mental health and wellbeing for people within Midlothian. There's been good progress during that time. It is a joint strategy. We work really well with our colleagues in the NHS and the third sector in this area. It was the first time that we'd looked at a strategy that had really covered the whole lifespan as well. Our mental health strategies before that had been very much adult 16 to 65 focused. And this was very clearly looking at the fact that people experience mental health across the whole age range, and that just because you'd turned 65 shouldn't mean that everything around you changed if things were working well to support you with your mental health issues before that date. So it was about trying to get a lifelong approach to supporting people with mental health. And it was about, I suppose, also looking at that wider wellbeing issue as well that we need to focus on, and not just look at the very specifics of mental illness, but looking at that wider wellbeing issue. There's been some really good work that's been going on through that time. Welfare reform has particularly impacted on people's health and wellbeing, and we've invested some money to offer some additional support to people with mental illness to work through some of the changes in benefits that have been happening. The Men's Share project has been particularly positive, which is supporting men in the 25 to 50 age bracket, particularly around suicide and suicidal behaviour. We've been doing some reviews, both in terms of our employment services and in terms of our rehab services that we have available, that have both brought in some savings and improved the quality of services that we've been able to support during that time. So you're being asked to note the content of the report and agree to receive annual updates on the progress.
Unfortunately, we all acknowledge that poor mental health issues cut across the whole of our society, as you said, and the multi-experience team are working to promote mental health and wellbeing in the county and improve everyone's lives. Many of the issues have been addressed by the team to improve whole lives. I think that's really important, by tackling their health as well as helping them support themselves in their own communities, and nurturing and encouraging recoveries and developing strategies for people to cope with living with ill health. Although it is regrettable that factors out with the control of this council or the Scottish Government, although they do as much as they can to mitigate that. For example, the welfare reform has affected many of the residents and has become a real burden on their mental health and wellbeing, and not helping improve mental health. Thank you.
Thank you. I think, are we happy to note that report on that basis? Thank you. That concludes the items of public business. One item remaining.